Morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Not exactly sure what was happening there. I had to get out of the meeting and come back in. Kevin said that nobody was able to join.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Was able to turn it.
I know that my Zoom just did a quick update, so I don't know if there was a mass update or not.
I don't know. It's interesting. Morning, Kevin. So, Kevin, I don't know if this is something for the future or not, but I was able to, I just had to get out of the meeting and then come back in. And then turn the waiting room off again, and that seemed to work it, make it work. But there are still people in the waiting room, even though it's turned off. That is really odd. Mark said that he just got a new Zoom update, so maybe there's something related to that. But I have the waiting room is turned off, but there's still people that are queuing up there.
Got you. So you're letting them in, obviously. Yeah. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So I know we're 2 minutes late getting started. So I'll go ahead and start it. I'm gonna stop recording. Oh, that's not what I'm about to do. All right, I'll edit everything out at the beginning. It's into the file. It looks like it's reporting to my computer instead of the cloud. So good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge call. I'm Mark Boland with Black Sheep Productions, and for the last couple of weeks, we've been taking a look at a prayer that the Jewish people prayed for thousands of years called the Shema. And today we're going to look at the word soul. And honestly, this is the one that they've kind of caught me by surprise, because I have kind of had a preconceived notion of what soul meant. And so I found this to be phenomenally educational. So with that, I will start the video.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. We're going to look at the word soul. The Hebrew word is nephesh. It occurs over 700 times in the Old Testament. The common English translation of this word is soul, and that's kind of unfortunate. Here's why. The English word soul comes with lots of baggage from ancient Greek philosophy. It's the idea that the soul is a non-physical, immortal essence of a person that's contained or trapped in their body to be released at death. It's a ghost in the machine kind of idea. This notion is totally foreign to the Bible. It's not at all what nephesh means in biblical Hebrew. The most basic meaning of nephesh is throat. Like when the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness, they're hungry and thirsty, and they say to God, "We missed the cucumbers and melons we had in Egypt. Now our nephesh has dried up." Or when Joseph was hauled off into slavery in Egypt, his nephesh was put into iron shackles. But nephesh doesn't only mean throat. Since your whole life and body depend on what comes in and out of your throat, nephesh could also be used to refer to the whole person. Like in Genesis, there were 33 nephesh in Jacob's family, that is, 33 people. In the Torah, a murderer is called a nephesh slayer, and a kidnapper is called a nephesh thief. On the first pages of the Bible, both humans and animals are called a living nephesh. And if the life breath has left a human or animal, the nephesh remains. It's just called a dead nephesh, that is, a corpse. So in the Bible, people don't have a nephesh. Rather, they are a nephesh, a living, breathing, physical being. Now, that might surprise you because most people assume the Bible says the soul is what survives apart from the body after death. And while the biblical authors do have a concept of people existing after death, waiting for their resurrection, they rarely talk about it. And when they do, they don't use the word nephesh. So even though nephesh is often translated as soul, the Hebrew word really refers to the whole human as a living physical organism. In fact, this is why biblical people can often use this word to refer to themselves, and it gets translated me or I. Like in Psalm 119, most translations read, "Let me live that I may praise you." In Hebrew, the poet literally says, "Let my nephesh live that it may praise you." By using nephesh, the poet emphasizes that their entire being, their life and their body offer thanks to God. In the Song of Songs, the young woman constantly refers to her lover as the one my nephesh loves. And of course, love isn't just an intellectual experience. It's an emotion that activates your whole body, your entire nephesh. This helps us understand the brilliance of other biblical poets who could combine multiple meanings of nephesh in one place. Like in Psalm 42, we read, "As the deer pants for the water, so my nephesh pants after you. My nephesh thirsts for the living God." So on a physical level, your throat can be thirsty, like a deer's, but then that physical thirst can become a metaphor for how your whole physical being longs to know and be known by your creator. Which brings us all the way back to the Shema. To love God with all of your nephesh means to devote your whole physical existence to your creator, the one who granted us these amazing bodies in the first place. It's about offering your entire being with all of its capabilities and limitations in the effort to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the Hebrew word for soul.
So I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. And the challenge I would give today is don't just love the Lord your God with your body. Don't just love the Lord your God with your soul, but love the Lord your God with all of your nephesh. And go be the edge.
Thank you, Mark. Wow, that was, I've been in the kingdom way too long to not have known that by now. So thank you for that. That's powerful stuff.
Really good. Love that.
Certainly gave me, I've watched it several times, and it gave me something else to think about. It seems like every single time I watch it. So, because I think it does kind of challenge the way that I had visioned soul before I ever saw that video. And I have not, I'll be honest with you, I have not looked up to see what the other word is that is, you know, in the original writings to be able to see what the term is for what we might think of as being a soul waited to be resurrected. But Kevin or Mark, you might know the answer to that, or somebody else might know.
I don't. I'll have to look it up.
Intriguing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Mark. Or Kevin. You're Kevin today. There's two Kevins.
Oh, I had to go back out and come back in.
Been there, done
There's
that.
Only one Kevin. There's only one.
All right, see you guys.
See y'all. See you next week, Mark.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, that was-